And now, Michiana Chronicles, a series by area writers about their daily lives. This week, April Ladinsky travels through space and time.
In this summer travel season, when many of us return to places filled with personal history, here's a meditation on the space-time continuum. The whole topic of revisiting is saturated with regret. Witness E.B. White's classic essay, Once More to the Lake, worth rereading in spite of his melancholy theme that returning to the lake of his youth is shadowed by loss. The adult E.B. White observes his son pulling on icy swim trunks for a dip in the lake, just as he had done as a child. White concludes his essay bleakly, "Suddenly my groin felt the chill of death." And happy summer to you too, Mr. White. Because I'm an optimist, I don't adhere to the time-in-a-bottle school of regret over time's passing. As I age, I find I get more out of revisiting places, not less, with my more expansive life experience as a lens. Like Faulkner, but perhaps without his dark view, I also believe that the past is never dead. It's not even past. But I'm less haunted than fascinated by the ways our memories hang in the air in the spaces we've been before. Here's an example. I first visited Chicago in 1984 on a snowy semester break from my undergrad program in Iowa. My punked-out self was gobsmacked by the soaring curves of the Picasso sculpture in Daley Plaza. And then Chicago blew what was left of my mind when I was allowed to peek into my friend's older sister's apartment in one of the distinctive corncob Marina City buildings. Now, every time I catch sight of those honeycombed Chicago towers, I can summon my adolescent awe of that grown-up apartment, carelessly filled with silk blouses and lawyer's suits, and whimsically shaped like a slice of pie. My first raw love of the city is layered now, with 30 years of revisiting, so that when I walk the lakeshore or enter a museum, I feel my toddler's damp hands in my own, though our daughters are now young adults, and recall snippets of past conversations hovering as if in thought balloons over my head about potty training, funerals, recipes, and early career anxiety. Years of reading about Chicago's 1893 World's Fair brings another layer of past to the present, and now I see what's left of that record-breaking white city architecture through the lens of that history, too. My view of the Museum of Science and Industry filtered as though through a stereopticon, past and present superimposed. This summer and fall, there's an interactive tour of the 1893 World's Fair. Check out the Science and Industry Museum's website. A few weeks ago, I had a chance to revisit New York City, a place that anchored my graduate school years in the early 90s. I had a bit of that stereopticon experience while wandering those familiar sidewalks, lingering by the ornate Frick Museum, with its dark Rembrandt self-portraits, each one looking so much like my spouse's Uncle Al that I could still hear our surprised laughter from our last visit 20 years ago, when flickers of low-grade labor pains had just started to signal our firstborn's dramatic arrival on the full moon the following night. The conference I was attending in New York was for professors who teach with a method called reacting to the past, which steeps students in controversy-rich historical moments and gives them a chance to role-play cultural debates. Playing games is part of the conference, and I signed up for one set in 1913 Greenwich Village. I was the lefty editor, Max Eastman. As when I teach these primary materials, I felt the past pressing hard on the present in those debates about women's self-determination, access to reproductive health care, the power of the ballot, and hopes for labor organizing. During a free afternoon, a group of us game players took the subway down to Greenwich Village to stand in the spaces where those debates had unfolded. Maps in hand, we found the McDougal Street site of Polly's Restaurant, its cozily dark brick interior, the place where conversations sparked between Emma Goldman, John Reed, and bohemian artists and social reformers in those optimistic years before the First World War. The silence was crowded, my hushed voice just one note in a rich historical chorus. As my family plans our own summer travel, I keep thinking of the Spirograph set lots of us used as kids, driving our multicolored ballpoint pens into interlocking plastic wheels to create elaborate patterns based on circling and returning. The patterns we make in space and time are more complex with every return. We are the same and different, evermore ourselves, woven into a historical design whose authorship is only partly our own. For Michiana Chronicles, this is April Ludinsky.
Michiana Chronicles is a presentation of 88.1 WVPE.